We have two mine permits, and a full union permit at mill. So the mine permit, it's not like we can start tomorrow, but you know, we just need to amend the permit from care and maintenance to production. Especially if it's within the conditions of the current permit, it can be done in months, not years. If we're changing or amending, you know, the size of production, so if we're looking at the high grade for the mill, that size that we have, that should be relatively fast. If we're looking at the bulk tonnage size, where we need to expand significantly the amount of production, that will probably be a process of, you know, a couple of years,
but we're not talking 6 to 10 years.
No,
correct?
No.
You guys are significantly undervalued to other companies that I have in my portfolio that should, and then this is just to be candid, to show that should have the same amount of metal in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. So why are you guys so undervalued? Marco Rock, Cassiar Gold, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon, Andy. I'm great, and you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming down to Atlanta. Quite the whirlwind here. Doing this, getting the word out of the company, and over $4,000 gold. Let's talk about that for a second. We shot up, just skyrocketed here the last few weeks. Now we have a correction. What are your thoughts on what's going on with the gold price?
Well, it's a great question. I think I don't know if today we're below 4,000 or above 4,000. I think we really need to take a step back. You know, there's a lot of euphoria and despair at the same time. Well, actually, in a very short period of time regarding the metal price. But if you take a step back and really assess, you know, rationally, what's been happening is what you've seen in the last, you know, certainly since, you know, not only since the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war, but more importantly, since there was talk about confiscating Russia's central bank assets, basically gold has been on a tear. A lot of the fundamental reasons for buying gold have become stronger, but really what you've seen in the biggest buyer of the metal really in the last couple of years, a big support, is really central banks. So it's been central bank buying, sovereign wealth funds, and some Asian retail as gold is becoming topical. So I think, you know, first and foremost, we really have to look at the lenses of that. This is not a retail or Western investor driven rally in the gold price. And it's been a central bank led rally in the gold price that, you know, just been accumulating. And what you have is, if you look at the historical levels of the percentage of the reserves that are held in gold versus basically other fiat currencies in central banks, it of course has been going up substantially via gold purchases and also via the gold price, but, you know, it's very far from the average, or even, you know, much less so from the highs of previous cycles. So that's one thing to say. So, and what I'm trying to say with this, I don't think we're going to see, you know, central bank buying slowing down significantly anytime soon. If you look at the price itself, the price of gold, of course, you know, it's great to go from whatever 2,000 to 4,000 or over 4,000 for a metal that's, you know, or for an asset class that's supposed to, you know, on average give you 10% a year. It's of course, you know, great. But if you look at the price, you know, on the, you know, all the bull cycles in the gold price, this bull cycle is actually one of the lowest so far in terms of appreciation. You see typically gold price double or triple. So I think there's still a lot of upside. If this was a normal gold bull market, which, by the way, I don't think it is. I think this time is different.
Guy, let's talk about Cassiar Gold specifically here. And to all my viewers and listeners, I am an investor in Cassiar Gold. Cassiar Gold did not sponsor me as of yet, and they have not paid for this interview. So just full disclosure on that. So Marco, you were down here, you flew down here from New York, you were meeting with some investors up in New York, getting the word out about Cassiar Gold, and you came and met with me, the group of investors, my friends down here in Atlanta. one of the things, and I have my own reasons, but we get talked to all of the time with different gold companies coming down, and they all say the same thing, I guess, basically. What makes you guys different? And I'll give you my viewers and listeners what why I invested in. Again, this is not investment advice. What makes you too different? And really what I look for, assets in the ground, where are you at in permitting? How far is this going to be to mine? Then I like to know more about share structure. But let's talk about assets that you have in the ground and what do you think you have in the ground?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of things that makes this quite unique, and every project is unique, but like some are more unique than others. And I think, you know, first and foremost, we're quite undervalued. But in terms of...
I want to talk about that too, why you're undervalued, but go ahead.
Yeah. In terms of the assets on that we have on the grounds, like we have a massive district. It's 59,000 hectares, 590 square kilometers. It has five best producing mines. As they say, the best place to find a mine is in the shadow of a headframe, and we have five of those. We have a pretty substantial resource, 2.3, 2.6 million ounces depending on the cutoff grade. Around 1 gram per ton, starting at surface with 90% of the ounces within 150 meters from surface. That's $10 billion worth of metal within 150 meters from surface with paved road access straight to that deposit. We have a fully owned and permitted mill. We have mine permits already in place.
You have a fully permitted mill.
Yeah.
So typically, and you're in BC, so in my experience, it typically takes 6 to 10 years to get a permit to build a mine.
Yeah.
You have a permit to mine, correct?
Yeah, we have two mine permits, and a full union permitted mill. So the mine permit, it's not like we can start tomorrow, but we just need to amend the permit from care and maintenance to production. Especially if it's within the conditions of the current permit, it can be done in months. Not years. If we're changing or amending, the size of production, so if we're looking at the high grade for the mill, that size that we have, that should be relatively fast. If we're looking at the bulk tonnage size where we need to expand significantly the amount of production, that will probably be a process of, a couple of years.
A couple of years, but we're not talking 6 to 10 years,
no,
correct?
No. And that's a massive advantage because time is money.
Okay, the other problem that I usually get into, again, you have a lot of gold and silver metal commodities in BC, but one of the problems is very little, I don't want to say very little, but a lot of this is remote. Mm-hmm. A lot of these mines are remote,
yeah.
And they're not next to infrastructure or a milling facility. Again, you have the infrastructure, correct me if I'm wrong,
yep.
And you have a mill, which
yeah.
I don't think I can say enough for, and that's one of the differentiators of why I invest in KCR,
yeah.
But tell me about that.
Yeah, no, that's really a great question. I mean, like a lot of the investors just focus on the size of the deposit at its current stage, which by the way, it's growing. We increased our resource by 86% earlier this year, following on, about 30,000 meters of drilling that we've done around the Torres deposit. But really a massive advantage. And actually one of the things that attracted me the most to this project is the fact that we have infrastructure. We have, roads are so important because, a lot of projects are in the middle of nowhere because, of course, gold is valuable and it's scarce and the easy stuff has been found, but not everywhere. In a lot of these projects, you gotta get on a helicopter or through like hours and hours of, these dirt roads. They're going to break your back.
One of my companies, you have to put it on a barge to ship down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it's, the gold is where the gold is.
Right. And,
but, we are blessed because we have a paved road not only to our projects, which we can, access and operate year-round, but to the deposit itself. You can drive from here, from Atlanta, all the way to the top of that $10 billion U.S. dollar deposit, which by the way, we're growing, it's gonna be a lot bigger, not via the gold price, by the size, but probably via the gold price too, and park your car on top of it, and mineralization starts at surface.
Right.
So that's a massive advantage because it's just easier to build things and bring things and operate with that. We have paved road to it, we have, in addition to the paved roads, we have 160 kilometers of access roads, we have a fully owned and permitted mill, we have access to power and water, we have access to grid power, we have power lines connecting from the mill to all of our portals, underground working, tailings facilities. It's so valuable, and things like infrastructure, things like paved roads, things like the how close it is to surface. In this case, it's at surface. Or topography, like are you in like a very rugged terrain, in like, you know, very steep mountains. Like we have basically, the deposit that we have is basically on a valley, you know, roughly, you know, just over 1 square kilometer. Out of a valley, that valley is 60 square kilometers. And we've done a lot of work at surface around that deposit. And we, you know, there's, you know, we're seeing gold at surface as well. So that's indicating that, you know, we have a much larger system. You never know until you drill it, but the chances are pretty good at this point. So, yeah, these are things that are really valuable, and it's so important to have. And I don't think enough people really appreciate how important it is, because, you know, it's not just, this is not just a deposit that you want to grow it or look at it. Like, when you think about how you're going to mine it and how you're going to develop, put it in production, all these things are very valuable, and they are going to impact both your CapEx as well as your operating cost.
Got it. So, second question, let's talk about share structure. But before we do that, what mines are around you that are currently producing? And then, yeah, tell me about that, and let's talk about share structure. I would like to know how many shares you have outstanding, fully diluted. I'd like to know how much skin you have in the game. And also, you know, any big investors or institutions that you can name drop that are invested in Cassiar.
Sure. First of all, operating mines. I'm going to try to answer all the questions if I can remember. I might ask for your help. So operating mines, the closest one to us is just 200 kilometers south of us, which in mining terms is, you know, right around the corner. 200 kilometers south along Highway 37. Highway 37 is the main highway that connects BC into the Yukon. It bisects our property. So that's a Red Chris mine. It's a Newmont mine. So Newmont paid about $1 billion US for 70% of it about roughly 10 years ago. A little bit further south, also a Newmont mine. It's a Brucejack mine. So Brucejack was acquired, less than 10 years ago, but it was for $3.5 billion. I think Canadian, this number, but you know, still it's quite a very substantial number. I think they have around 7 or 8 million ounces there. So that's roughly, I think, around 400 kilometers south of us. These are like the closest ones to production, both of them in a Golden Triangle, actually, you know, both of them actually very accessible via, you know, paved road to our property as well. There were mines operating north of us in the Yukon, Victoria, but that, you know, that's no longer in production. You know, they're like 1,000 kilometers north of us, and operating in, you know, relatively tough environment. But that went down, unfortunately. And these are the closest ones here. Yeah.
Got it. Tell me about share structure, and tell me about, before you go to share structure, how much money do you have in the bank, and how much did you put in?
Yeah. $8.6 million in the bank.
Canadian.
This is all Canadian, yes. Canadian pesos, as they say. I've put in so far 1.3 million Canadian
of my own money
into the company, which is, you know,
that's a big investment.
It's a big investment. It's you know, more than half of my net worth. This is not investment advice. Don't put more than a half of your worth into a company, or maybe you can.
Unless you're Elon Musk.
Exactly. Well, even him, like he has, you know, 4 or 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So I think he's
more diversified than you.
Yeah, exactly. That was a third question there.
Like
there was
a. Let's talk about. Well, okay. So let's talk about shares outstanding.
Yeah, shares outstanding. Yeah, so we have 147 million shares outstanding.
What are the options and warrants written at?
So we have about 50 million warrants, but they're all priced at 50 cents Canadian.
So they're out of the money.
So they're well out of the money. We're trading at, you know, whatever, 26 cents Canadian or 25. So the stock needs more than double to see any like warrant overhang from warrant exercise. But all those warrants could bring 25 million Canadian into the treasury if they all get exercised. So they all expire within the next year and a half to a year to 8 months. Looking forward to see those exercised. Yeah, I have actually quite a few warrants of those because, you know, I've wrote quite a few checks in the last financings. Other than that, options, I think we have around 5 million, 5 million options. They're all out of the money. They're all between 60 and 80 cents. We have two tranches of options, about 1.1 and 1.3 million that are around 34 and I think 27 cents or thereabouts. So they are the only ones in the money, and they're all with basically board and management.
Got it. Okay.
Which, by the way, participate in every single private placement.
So they're believers.
Buy regularly on the open market, and none of us ever sold a share. So.
Got it. So to all my viewers and listeners, this is a very tight share structure, which again is a huge plus to Cassiar Gold and the discipline of the management and the share structure there. Marco, I'm trying to figure out, and I really don't have the answer, and maybe you don't have the answer, and that's fine, but you guys are significantly undervalued to other companies that I have in my portfolio that should, and this is just to be candid, to show that should have the same amount of metal in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. So why are you guys so undervalued?
Well, the short answer is I don't know. You know, there could be a lot of reasons, you know, market context, shareholder fatigue, misunderstanding, lack of exposure or awareness, lack of like research coverage from some banks as well. That's, you know, could be all of it, but you know, there's really no fundamental logical reason. I think what we've seen in the last, gold price really started taking off, you know, like a year over, just over a year ago, like a year and a half ago. But really, the equity started moving like since the beginning of the year, quite nicely. You know, our stock, you know, is maybe like, you know, 60 or 80% on the year, but our peers with similar size deposits and similar drill success have gone up, you know, 200, 300, 400%.
Right.
So we're definitely a laggard. So there's, you know, one would expect, you know, from, you know, purely from a logical and rational perspective for us to catch up. You know, we're trading, you know, at $15, $16 Canadian enterprise value per ounce on the grounds. You know, companies that have similar deposits, actually lower grades than us, are trading at, you know, $150, $200, $300 million market cap Canadian. We're trading at, you know, 30, 35, 40 million. So I think we're quite undervalued. And I think there's a potential, a very significant potential to re-rate just on what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, with awareness and people, you know, recognizing what we have and looking and doing proper due diligence on a company and really recognizing what we have, I think it's, you know, it's there's a potential to re-rate. But in addition to that, you know, I think we have a lot of catalysts that will help us getting there.
Talk about that. I mean,
yeah.
What's going to really move the stock, really? And again, long-term investors.
Yeah.
I'm in that boat.
Yeah.
But really, what's the catalyst over the next 3 to 6 months that's really going to move the stock?
Yeah.
Well, there's a few things. First of all, you know, just to finish my thought there, like that, that I was mentioning, like I've put $300,000 into the company this year. And you know, I think investors should also take note of that. Like, you know, and again, this is very significant money for me. So I think people should really pay attention on what we're doing, and you know, not just dismiss it. We've turned over half of our share registry in the last 3 months. So I think a lot of the fatigue shareholders, because you know, it's been a bear market in the gold junior space for the last 3 years, you know, with the exception of the last 6 months. A lot of people moved to you know, producers or near-term developers, which makes sense. But you know, there's still a lot of upside, and I would ask people to take note. Now, to the catalyst question, we just completed a 7,300 meter drill program. Actually about just over 5,000 meters of that, so you know, majority, like 2/3 of it, was allocated to a target called New Coast, which is 2.5 kilometers south of where we have the entirety of the resource in a deposit called Taurus. We allocated still, you know, over 2,000 meters to the Taurus area, stepping out because the deposit is only constrained by drilling, so it's open for expansion. So we stepped out at the margins of the deposit. But we've actually put a substantial amount of drilling at New Coast, which is, you know, a target we're pretty excited about, because we see exactly the same styles of mineralization, alteration, mineralization as we see at Taurus. And, Interestingly, we don't have the assays yet, so that's going to be coming in the next, you know, starting imminently and probably until January. We've put out our deepest drill hole to date at New Coast, 720-meter deep drill hole. Reminder, Taurus, 90% of the ounces are within 150 meters from surface. So this is very deep. We went through, you know, hydrothermal alteration, quartz veining, and you know, pyrite mineralization, typically as we expected. We went through like a sedimentary layer, and then again into like hydrothermal alteration as well. So that actually, I don't want to bore people with the geology, but it has quite significant implications, of course, into that part of the property. But actually, it's a concept of this stacking of mineralization we have across the property. So that actually, you know, we know that Taurus only occupies one square kilometer out of 590, so we have a lot of room to grow laterally. But actually, this is giving us indication of stacking of mineralization at depth, which brings an added dimension for growth as well. So we're over there, we're really, you know, doing very big step outs, you know, a little bit of infill, some big step outs to really see like what is the potential size there. We believe that has the potential to be big, you know, as big, if not bigger than Taurus. In fact, the name of New Coast before used to be Taurus 2. And I think that's really the way we see it. Not that Taurus is, you know, is exhausted in terms of the potential size. It has room to grow. We don't know how big Taurus is going to get. Maybe it's going to get to 3. Maybe it's going to get to 4 million ounces. Maybe it's going to get to 5. But New Coast, we see the potential for something as big, let alone the potential of connecting both, which is also quite exciting. So there's a lot of room to grow there, and the assay results will give us some indication about, you know, how similar is to Taurus, how big potentially it is. So we're trying to see like what is the potential.
What's the ETA on getting those back?
You know, probably like a couple of weeks, a week or two.
So investors need to pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention and don't wait for the last minute. Yeah. And actually look at what we have right now, just evaluation of what we have right now. You know, let alone my view is screaming buy. This is not investment advice, by the way, but this is what I've been doing. I've been buying on the open markets. And also through private placements. In addition to the drilling, which we'll be releasing probably until January next year, we're also going to be in the first half of next year, we're going to be putting out metallurgical studies and the first PEA on the project.
Great.
And I think that's also going to be very significant because I think it's going to translate to dollars. You know, what does it mean to have all of these ounces?
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean to be so close to surface? Like, you know, how good is this grave in the context of what we have, in the context of all the infrastructure that we have? So we're going to be translating, I think, all of the advantages that we have into numbers, into IRRs, into NPVs.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to talk to all my viewers and listeners here. So this is not investment advice. I am a shareholder. I'm more than likely going to be buying more before, after, and during this video's release here. Listen, I want to look at rocks in the ground. That's what I want to look at. And then the second thing I focus on is share structure and then infrastructure. These checks the boxes for me. Again, not investment advice here. And then I really want to see value, and in my opinion, it's significantly, Cassiar is significantly undervalued, significantly relative to its peers. So that can mean a lot of different things, and I try to get to why is that? That's why I asked the question to Mark, though, and that's actually a good answer. He doesn't know. That's a great answer in my book. And so you want to find deep value relative to everything else. And that's, again, not investment advice, but that's how I see Cassiar Gold. Marco, if people want to buy your stock, if they want more information about you, if they want to contact you, how do they do that? What are your stock symbols and where are you traded?
Sure. So we can check our website. It's cassiargold.com. Cassiar is spelled cassiargold.com. Can reach out to me, like my email is marco@cassiargold.com, you can follow us on social media, LinkedIn, X, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Stock ticker in the US, we trade on the OTCQX, CGLCF. We trade in Canada, GLDC. We also trade in Frankfurt for those who trade in Germany as well. Did I miss anything?
No, that's it. Okay. I think so. Cool. Marco, thanks for coming to Atlanta. I'd love to see you again in the new year, hopefully. That'd be great. And to all my viewers and listeners, here's some exposure to Cassiar Gold, and I hope you take advantage of this investment advice. Thank you so much, Marco.
Thank you, Andy. My pleasure.